إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إن الله مع الذين اتقوا والذين هم محسنون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the people of taqwa and with the people of ihsan. I remind myself and you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised success for the people who are on haqq, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised failure for those who are not on haqq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلُ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say verily that the truth has come, has become clear, the haqq has come. وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلُ, and the batil, the falsehood has vanished, disappeared. And then Allah said, إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. It is the nature of batil to disappear. So the fact that falsehood has failed should not surprise anybody, because falsehood is supposed to fail. But if we look at the world around us, we find that this is not what we see. We find that people who are on haqq, which is the Muslims, are actually failing. And people who are on the batil, the people who are not Muslim, who has not accepted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are atheists, who are all kinds of other things, they are not failing, they are succeeding. So what does it mean? Does it mean the Quran is false? The Quran is disproved? What it means is that the Quran is true. And you will succeed on haqq as long as you are completely on haqq. And that is why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, enter into Islam completely, udkhulu fi silmi kaffa, the ayat is addressed to whom? Allah did not say, ya ayyuhannas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ya ayyuhallazina amanu, udkhulu fi silmi kaffa. The ayat saying, enter into Islam fully, the mukhatib are the Muslimin. Allah did not say, oh people. Allah did not say, ya ayyuhal mushrikun. Allah did not say, oh, those people who commit shirk. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, udkhulu fi silmi kaffa. Wala tattabi'u khutuwati shaitan, innahu lakum aduwwun mubin. Allah said, those who believe, oh, you who believe, enter into Islam completely and do not follow the footsteps of shaitan, and shaitan is your open enemy. The reason this is being said is because when you say that you are on haqq, you cannot say you are on haqq if you are partly on haqq and partly on batil. You can't say, I'm inside the room, if you are standing with one leg outside the room and one leg inside the room. You are either inside the room or you are not inside the room. So if you say, I am on haqq, I am on the truth, then you have to be on the truth completely. You can't be partially on the truth, because if you are partially on the truth, then you are not on the truth. Because you are on some truth and some falsehood. And there is no promise of Allah's success and no promise of Allah's help on people who are partially on truth. Now, that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this, and He told us that that haqq is what will succeed. So therefore, how do we interpret this fact that Muslims are today, illa mashallah, except for those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has saved? Generally speaking, Muslims are the example of failure. Things don't work. If you take, by and large, again, not as if everyone who is not a Muslim is a great success. They are not. But you find that there are people who have succeeded. Just yesterday I was telling our IT geeks, there is a guy in Hyderabad, young man in Hyderabad, who set up a company, and 3 years later he sold it to HP for $3 billion. $3 billion. So I was telling them yesterday, they came to pick me up from the airport. So I told them, I said, if you do the same thing, forget $3 billion, sell it for $1 billion. You are SBS woes will be solved in one stroke. You can build the SBA and you still have 800 million left or more. So my point is that why is that happening? And the consequence we come to, or the answer I come to, is that the reason why the people, the disbelievers who don't even believe in Allah, the reason why they succeed is because they have taken something of Haqq and they are on that. Whereas we have left something of Haqq. And with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the criteria are different. For the non-believer, even if he takes one thing out of Haqq, Allah will give him success. And for the believer, even if he leaves one thing of Haqq, Allah will not give him success. Because for the believer, the condition is enter into Islam completely, not partially. So if a believer leaves even one thing, and that is what happens, that's the issue with us. We have left some things. We do some things and we leave some things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned this. Allah said, have you taken something of the book and left the rest? أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدَ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْدَ Allah said, have you taken, are you among those who take something of the book and you leave the rest? So they have taken something, and based on that haqq, Allah has given them great success. Whereas we have left something. Now, what is this thing that they have taken, and what is it that we have left? And I believe that is the concept and the principle of Ihsan. The ayat which I began with, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ Verily, Allah is with those who have taqwa and who are from the people of Ihsan. Today, if you look at ourselves, we are nowhere close to what is Ihsan. Ihsan is completeness. Ihsan is excellence. Ihsan is completely and totally doing something to a level of excellence. It's not just doing something anyhow. Today we are known to be people who do something anyhow. You give a job to a Muslim, he'll do it halfway, you know. Whereas you give it to somebody who is not a Muslim and you see all kinds of rigor with regard to how things are done. If you take, today we like to talk about our achievements, you know, in the ancient past with regard to science and technology, and you say Abu al-Firnas is the man who discovered or who invented or discovered flight and to the principles of flight, and he took off and so on, and then he crash landed because he didn't realize the importance of a tail and whatnot. But today, tell me who are the people who are building planes, Muslims or non-Muslims? I know people who are buying planes, but I'm talking about who are building planes. Not now. I mean, who actually took, and who stops the Muslims from doing that? And I can say this for anything. Take education institutions. We are very proud of our education. We say, our universities are the oldest in the world. First of all, they are not the oldest in the world. That itself is a, self-deception. They are among very old universities, but they are not the oldest in the world. There were universities long before Islam was even announced in the world. But the point is that even though we have oldest university, to go to a Muslim university and go to Yale, go to Harvard, go to Oxford, go to Cambridge, I don't think I need to say anything more. I'm talking about the quality, not just of infrastructure, but of maintenance. I'm talking about the quality of teaching. I'm talking about the quality of students. I'm talking about the whole attitude towards teaching and learning in those universities as compared to our universities. I was in South Africa in Rhodes University in Port Elizabeth, and I was invited to give a lecture there on Islam. And as we were going towards the lecture hall, this was in the night, it was an evening session. So as we were going towards the lecture hall, I saw this building with a huge flight of stairs, maybe, 50 stairs or so. Huge, major, big flight of stairs, very magnificent, commanding building. And people going in and out of it, it was like a railway station. I mean, people just going in and out of the door. So I asked the person who was taking me, I said, what building is this? He said, this is our library. I said, your library has this much of activity at 9 o'clock in the night? He said, our library is open 24 hours of the day. Every single day. They said, we don't even close on Christmas or New Year or Nothing. We do not close. Our library is open 24 hours of the day, every day of the year. And this is the kind of activity. And after that, as this happened coincidentally, I went to one of the big, Islamic institutions. And there again I was invited for a lecture. And it so happened coincidentally that there also I went past the library. And the library had a lock on it. There was a lock on the door. So I asked the person who was taking me, I said, "Why is your library locked?" He said, "Well, our library is normally locked." I said, I asked him, I said, "Is it a holiday today?" He said, "No, it's not a holiday." So I said, "Why is your library locked?" He said, "Our library is normally locked." I said, "Your library is normally locked?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Then students are not allowed to go into the library?" He said, No. Students are not allowed to go into the library. So I said, "Then why do you have a library?" "Oh, well, you see, we have to keep our books and it's a collection of books and so on. And sometimes the teachers go in there to refer to some things and so on." So I said, "If the students want to learn, what must they do?" "Well, they have their textbooks." How will you learn? It's not a matter of feeling offended or whatnot. Because those who feel offended when they are faced with the truth are the true fools of the world. There's no one who's more stupid and foolish than someone who's offended when he is faced with the truth. And this is our truth. And our truth is that we have left al-ihsan. Even if you take Hadith Jibreel and the description of ihsan, where Allah subhanahu Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Anta abudu Allah ka annaka tara," worship Allah as if you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we restricted that to salah. Inshallah, tomorrow we'll elaborate more. I don't want to take more time today. Tomorrow we'll talk about the issue of ihsan from Hadith Jibreel and elsewhere. But just think about this and say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised success for the one who is completely on haq, not partially on haq. And my contention is that we have left al-ihsan and the others have taken that al-ihsan. They have taken that issue of excellence. Anything they take, they do to the last possible extent. Somebody is studying chimpanzees and that lady, Jane Goodall, spends her entire life and dies in the jungles of the Congo. She's studying chimpanzees. Right? So it's not a question of what you are doing. It's a matter of if you take something, then you take it to the last extent. A guy called Wilson is photographing, he's looking for the structure of snowflakes. And he photographs snowflakes for 35 years. 35 years. He's photographing snowflakes. Can you imagine? But that is the level of excellence to which they do things. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them success. I remind myself and you that the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu is haq. And if we believe in the kalam of Allah, then let us treat it like haq. Let us not pick and choose. Because if we pick and choose, then it will not give us the success that we need. We ask Allah to enable us to open our eyes and hearts to the haqq of His deen and to enable us to benefit from it. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلِهِ وَسَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ وَرَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ.